October the 11th.
Dr. Coker speaking.
Seek ye the Lord while he may be found. Call ye upon him while he is near. Let the wicked forsake his way, and the unrighteous man his thoughts. And let him return unto the Lord, and he will have mercy upon him. I have asked the chairman of the inauguration committee to the Lord together. Our God in prayer, each expressing his prayer in his own thoughts, in his own way. Confess our sins and pray for forgiveness. Let us pray that God's will may be done in this world. Let us pray for all who serve the Master in faraway places and are under difficult circumstances. Let us pray also for the people of the world who are in need physically, emotionally, and spiritually. Let us pray for peace and reconciliation between man and God, man and man, and among the nations of the world. Let us conclude our prayer by committing ourselves to following the will of the Master. These things we pray, Almighty God, in the name of Jesus Christ, who is our Lord. Amen. Those who practice the fine art of pretending are described in our scripture reading for this morning from the 6th chapter of Matthew, beginning with the first verse. Beware of practicing your piety before men in order to be seen by them, for then you will have no reward from your Father who is in heaven. Thus, when you give alms, sound no trumpet before you, as the hypocrites do in the synagogues and in the streets, that they may be praised by men. Truly I say to you, they have their reward. But when you give alms, do not let your left hand know what your right hand is doing, so that your alms may be in secret, and your Father who sees in secret will reward you. And when you pray, you must not be like the hypocrites, for they love to stand and pray in the synagogue. Truly I say to you, they have their reward. But when you pray, go into your room and shut the door and pray to your Father who is in secret, and your Father who sees in secret will reward you. The fine art of pretending may be most clearly observed in the creative play of children. At 3, my daughter decided that she no longer wanted to have the name of Anne, but wanted to be called National Velvet, after one of her favorite television personalities who lived on a ranch and rode horses. One afternoon, I called her for supper. Anne, come to supper. No reply. I call again, still no reply. I call a third time, and still no reply. Finally, wearing my sternest scowl, I went back to her room and said, young lady, why didn't you answer me? She said, but Daddy, you didn't call me. Oh, yes, I did, I said. I called Anne come to supper 3 times. But, Daddy, I'm not Anne. I'm National Velvet. At 6, she pretends to be a horse galloping through the house, and all of us clear the track for fear of our lives, though she does rebel at our offering a bowl of oats for supper. But the fine art of pretending is not restricted to children. Perhaps we have a different name for it. With children, we call it creative imagination. But even this is not restricted to children. Do you know the real names of Matt Dillon and Chester and Perry Mason and some of the other television personalities you look at while you ought to be studying? Would you call these men hypocrites? You might be correct in doing so, though we have given this word moral overtone so that it certainly would not be kind or courteous if we should refer to these actors or people skilled in the art of pretending as hypocrites. But what do you think about the man running for a public office in a small southern town in a state not too far from here, who in advertising for his campaign listed among his qualifications, "I am an active churchman." Well, as a matter of fact, prior to the campaign, he had not been in the church except on rare occasions. But after the campaign was underway, he was there every time the door was open. Do you suppose that he was pretending to be something that he was not? But what about religious leaders, even ministers, who pretend to be deeply religious in public, but whose inner motivations and private lives are often hardly up to the standards of the non-Christian professional people of the world? Jesus hardly spoke more censoriously than when he condemned with cutting criticism the superficial piety of the religious leaders of his day. He picked out some of the more transparent pretendings of these men for condemnation. Of praying long and loud on the street corners in order to be seen of men, of having a trumpet sounded when they gave alms, of substituting the observance of their meticulous legalistic traditions for genuine obedience to the commandments of God, of performing their outer cleansing ceremonies while leaving the inner self still saturated with the stains of sin. The Pharisees, we would agree, had cultivated this art of pretending until they were masters of it. But we too have learned the art well, and it could be that because we've had more time to practice it through the centuries, we could give the old masters some lessons in 20th century pretending. For example, are not many of us skilled at turning a pretty phrase in public prayer, but clumsy and tongue-tied when we fall on our knees in the quiet corners of our secret closets? Do we discover that the God to whom we speak is far away and seems to be much of a stranger? E.G. Bulwer once wrote, "As a general rule, people who flagrantly pretend to anything are the reverse of that which they pretend to. A man who sets up for a saint is sure to be a sinner, and a man who boasts that he is a sinner is sure to have some feeble, maudlin, sniveling bit of saintship about him which is enough to make him a humbug." Has ever a generation of religious leaders surpassed us in the polish with which we openly avow our concern for others, while within primarily seek the favorable opinions of ourselves? Are some of us, or all of us to some degree, like the pastor who urged from his pulpit that the people of the congregation show greater concern and compassion for the people of the community by visiting them on Sunday afternoons, and then proceeded to drive around the community in his air-conditioned, hi-fi-equipped automobile to be seen as a participant in the process, even though he never found it convenient to stop at a single house all afternoon? It's soon to be convention time. There you will have an opportunity to observe the most skilled of us in the art of pretending. Haven't you seen that familiar scene? A man coming up to another man, sticking out his hand, saying, "Hello, brother beloved. I've looked forward to seeing you at this convention. By the way, where are you now?" "Oh, pardon me. I see Mr. Highman over there, chairman of the program committee. Please excuse me," as he reaches out to shake a little higher hand. Spurgeon once said, "When you see a man with a great deal of religion in the show window of his shop, you may depend upon it he keeps a very small stock of it within." And have we not surpassed the most skilled of all ages in pretending by publicly proclaiming our dedication to the pursuit of learning and solicitously speaking of our sacrifices for the study of sacred theology when we really are serving the idol of status and seeking only degrees? Dean Swift aptly described us by speaking to his own generation when he said, "The more accomplished way of using books at present is to serve them as some do lords, learn their titles, and boast of their acquaintance." We are experts in the fine art of pretending, of citing our sacred shibboleths, of parading our pulpit piety, of blessing our brother with bountiful verbal bouquets, while those for whom we pretend to be leaders struggle along like sheep without a shepherd, confused and perplexed, prejudiced and ignorant, blinded by the very inconsistency which they see in us. We wait far behind the front lines, counting our beads of superficial piety, protecting our robes of self-righteousness, and I think hoping that we shall be proclaimed heroes without getting involved in the hell and suffering of life in which these lesser children of God must live. Wouldn't it be better if it could be written of us as it was written by Whittier of Daniel Neal? "Formed on the good old plan, a true and brave and downright honest man, he blew no trumpet in the marketplace, nor in the church with hypocritic face supplied with cant the lack of Christian grace. Loathing pretense, he did with cheerful will what others talked of while their hands were still." Let us pray. O God of truth, help us to understand the truth and to walk in the truth. In the name of Jesus Christ, our Lord. Amen.